Good morning, everyone. Good morning, lazy bones. All those lazy bones in the time zones. How are you all doing? As you may hear on my voice, I'm slightly a bit ill, just a tiny bit. Not like last Christmas, don't worry. There's a head cold going around work and everyone is sick, but I'm just refusing to give in. And it's kind of coming and going, but it's not that bad, so it should be okay. Should brush it off, have a couple of Lemsips, we call them over here. I don't know what they call them in your countries, but they're fucking Lemsips. I just wanted to have a little chat to catch up and tell you why I was missing for a while. During the week, one of my friends at work died, and she'd been sick for about a year. And it was, you know, it was one of these things we knew it was coming, you know, like a train coming down the track, you know, it's going to hit you, but you're still watching it coming down the track, and when it hit, it wasn't any easier. So we were kind of up the walls with that. We were, you know, people were just numb and walking around in circles, and then at the same time, you're being asked to do work, you know, get those products done and finished. And so it was one of these melancholy weeks, and, you know, I was here and there and doing this and that, and it kind of took me out of recording land for a while. At the same time, I kept my foot in, you know, I was checking in and out, and it was just kind of, it was a bit frustrating that I couldn't come out and say it, because the reason why I don't do that is because I don't want people to be fussing and, you know, oh, poor girl, oh, poor, because it's not, you know, it's not like that. You have to get on with things and you just get things done when something like that happens. And anyway, it's not poor girl, it's the poor woman, you know, it's the other way around. So to have people fussing over me is not something that I enjoy at all. I don't like that at all, because I just find that there's, you know, there are people around that need help and that, you know, need attention. I'm not one of those, to be honest, I'm not. And in fact, the lady that died was very like me in a way. We often spoke about that. We'd have long conversations about getting on with it, and she was what we call over here a hard case. I was telling, she was actually, you know, she was a hard case, but we had a conversation this morning, myself and one of my friends, and I was talking to him, and I was saying, you know, when someone dies, and people can be kind of like, oh yeah, he was a lovely guy, and at the same time, they're thinking, he fucking wasn't a lovely guy, he was an asshole, and they're afraid to say that, because death kind of, you know, for most people, it kind of puts things in perspective. But this lady was everything that people were talking about, you know. And we shared some fantastic stories of her during the weekend. She was just one of these people that was wild, you know. She was wildly alive, but she was a nice wild, you know. She just didn't give a fuck, like, you know. And even when she got sick towards the end, she was just so selfless, just an unbelievably selfless person. She, at Christmas, she wrote out 157 handwritten Christmas cards, and there was like personal notes in them as well. So if she was writing to me, she was telling me about the times that we, you know, we spent together, we spent a lot of time together, we trained each other in different parts of the business and that, like, so we spent a lot of close time together, and she'd bring up stuff that I used to say to her, and like the cards were written in like unbelievably good handwriting and really polished English, you know, really, like, so much thought gone into them. You can imagine someone with terminally ill cancer, you know, terminally ill with cancer, and taking her time to write all of those individual personal cards to people, which was like, it was such a gesture. But at the same time, when we got the cards, we all looked at each other and went like, whoa, you know, it's getting real. So she took the time to do that, and sure, we'd send her texts every now and again, and of the different bits of banter we used to have, and she was really a banter merchant, you know. She was really, really into it. And you know, there's functions and stuff now at the moment in work, and people are pulling out of them. There was like celebrations at the end of the month and stuff, and I was telling people like that she was the person to tell you, get off your ass and go, you know. Well, she wouldn't say it to me, because she knows I'm not a kind of a party person. While I'm more of a low-key thinker, I suppose. I like solitude, and that, as a lot of people know, and I'm not really like into the limelight. Even though I like, you know, when I go out then, when I go out, I'm fucking crazy. No, but so she would have been the type of person that everyone's like guilt tripping and saying, oh, I can't do this now. And I'm like, fucking hell, did you even listen to her? She would actually, I was joking today and I said she would actually get out of the coffin and turn up there. She was that cray, like. And I told a story last week that she taught me when we were working together. She was out in a bar with her friend, and her friend is equally as crazy, and they went to a country bar in Ireland. So it was like about 2 miles from their house, but she was staying with my friend, her friend was staying with my friend. So they went out anyway, and they went on the piss, as we call it here. And the two of them were just wild people. Like, I mean, the kind of wildness they would do is like they'd have the first drink, and then you just don't know where you'll end up or who you're talking to. You know, it's just so unpredictable and exciting to be out with them, you know. So the two of them went out together on this particular night, and they started, drinking and dancing, and they'd be doing this line dancing because they're from the country, you know. So they're doing the old line dancing and the Garbrook stuff. They're a little bit older than I am as well, you know, maybe 10, 15 years or something. And they were, doing the high diddle diddle, as we call it, high diddle diddle diddle. And they were, beating back the drink anyway, as usual. And at the end of the night, and these bars, like, you're not going to get home, you know. You think that you can get out, even if you're from America, China, no matter where you're from, they're standing at the door going, get back in there. No, you're fucking ages. You can't get out, you know. And I've seen it being done. I've seen them standing there and going, where do you think you're going? You're like, I just want to get out. Even if you're not drinking, you're not allowed out, you know. They'll just lock you in. So the two of them were stuck in there anyway, and they got, I think it was like 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, and they just got out, they got free. Sometimes you have to do that, you just run out through a gap in the door, and the two of them got out and they got free. So they led off back into the wild, and they went home, and they walked the 2 miles home, which is probably like, probably over 50 minute walk in the condition they were in. So they were walking home anyway, and they went back, and they jumped into bed, and off to sleep. And early in the morning, my friend woke up, and she said to her friend, oh my god, wake up. And her friend is like, what, we are so fucking dead. And her friend's like, what, what did we do? And she just couldn't remember, because, you know, they were so pushed. And she's like, oh my god, we're dead. And she's like, what do we do? So what they did, right, they were coming home, and it was like, as I said, like a 35-40 minute walk. But when they got into my friend's terrace or square, and these places are not like in the country, you're in countryside, and then you turn into a road, you know, and then it opens up into like a block of houses. They got into the block of houses, and as they were going up the terrace, they looked and they spotted a Bunksy Castle. I don't know what you call them in America. For the Americans here, but the English people will know what I'm talking about. Maybe the American people do, so you might have a different name, I don't know. But like, it's like a big, you know, inflatable castle that the kids bunks on. So it's a huge one, and these houses are big as well. These people are living in, like, out the country. The houses get bigger in Ireland. If you ever travel here, you'll see that when you come out of the city into the country, they're like big fuck off houses, you know, like ranches for all the world. But there was like a big huge Bunksy Castle, and the two of them look at each other and they're like, so they ran and they jumped onto the Bunksy Castle, and they're doing this, you know, like little girls when they're clapping hands, you know, clap hand, clap hand, clap hand, and they're doing all this like when they were young. And they were dancing and dancing and hoopity 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 hoop. And next, she heard pew, 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 pew. And what happened was the two of them were wearing stiletto high heels. So boom, 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 boom into it, and they punctured the fucking Bunksy Castle, and it deflated with the minute. And they were so pissed they couldn't actually get over it, and they were just holding each other's hands, and they were crying, like. So they got out of it in the end, and they went back into bed, they went up into the bedroom, and they fell asleep. But then they woke up and that happened, and then they had to go down to the neighbour's house. They had to call down in the morning, which is pretty late because they slept in pretty late, and they saw a load of broken hearted children standing outside the deflated Bunksy Castle, and they had to go in and they had to confess, and they said they felt like, you know, two brats, like, you know, two little girls, like two 15-year-old girls or even 13-year-old girls that found the Bunksy Castle. And Joan, she was telling me, and I mean it, like the laughter that we'd have when she was, and I was like, what are you doing, woman? I don't know what I'd be doing. And she was so crazy, like. So that's just one of the stories that she told me. And we You know, the both of us would work with each other, and we'd exchange these little stories about our antics and stuff like that. And she was just really, I was at a wedding with her probably about 4 or 5 years ago, and the two of us did a Siege of Venice. I don't know if you know that dance. And we just rocked the place, the two of us. And she was a tiny little woman as well. She was probably, you know, she's like under four. I think she was like 4'10" or 4'11". And I had her flinging up into the air, and she was like a helicopter at one stage. I was turning her upside down and everything. And we used to just pick her up then. We'd be standing there now at a wedding or something. I was just like, come on up there. And we just pick her up in her arms and just bring her up. And we'd be passing her around to each other and everything. She's like a little doll, like, and she was just so lovely. But, it's one of these things. And when I was inside work then, a lot of people were, she was very close to people as well. So she had this agony aunt aura and wisdom about her. You know, if something happened, a lot of the lads, especially the guys, they'd go over and they're talking to her, and she'd sort out their relationships and, you know, their problems and all that, and they'd come away. And we often joke, like we say, I have to get over to talk to her. It might be over something small. I think I got her a laptop once, and I got her a laptop made by guys that I knew. They just threw one together for her because she couldn't afford one. So I got her one kind of handy, as we say. And I was trying to get off to her, and I remember like a queue of about five fellas, like five guys with their relationship problems, and then going up to her, and she's looking at me, she's going, what do you want, love? And I'm like, oh no, I come bearing gifts. But it was just the queues that we were speaking about, you know, the queues would go on forever, just people, mostly guys, but the girls would go to her then as well, and the girls would have a lot of time for her because they'd, you know, on the nights out and stuff, they get really wild evenings, where, you know, and it was all dancing and it was singing, and if you didn't get up and dance for her, come on, you bollocks, it'd be like that, yeah, and she'd pick you up and out on the floor you go. I mean, there was one occasion we were in the company work for, and it was a big gig, you know, a real big gig, and you know, the top kind of guys were over from Europe and from around Europe and the States and that, and they were all sitting there, you know, the black tie affair job, and she was sitting there and she was talking to me, and she was, you know, slapping, she couldn't drink, like she'd have a couple of glasses of wine, and she'd go loopy lala, and she used to call it loopy, I went loopy lala. So she'd be, you know, she'd have a glass of wine, and the second glass of wine would kick, and I see the glint in her eye, and I go, oh, for fuck's sake, and she just jumps over onto the floor, and she was a fantastic Irish dancer. And her hands would be still by her side, and she was clippity clopping like a horse around the floor, and all the directors and managers and everything were just looking at her, and she couldn't give two fucks. And they were first, they were shocked, and then they all started clapping, and all their wives got up, and it was like something of a movie. It was just, and people still talk about it, even when, you know, she was alive, they still say, you remember that mad bitch that night, because everyone was so, you know, in these companies, you're under pressure, people are looking at you, are you going to make a fool of yourself? But she couldn't give a bollocks, she was just up and, yeah, she danced the night away, and just a lovely human being that you know, that I'm happy to have known. And there wasn't, you know, too much sadness this week, because I think, like, when I over the course of the year, she suffered so much from the cancer, and you're talking about people with cancer, it's a fucking nightmare, because when it attacks people, it, like 90% of people, I believe that 90% of people are good, 95% of people are good, no matter what you're listening to on the news, or all that bullshit, it's just bullshit. Most people are just trying to get on with their fucking lives, you know, they're bringing stuff from A to B, you know, basically, like, they're trying to get money, they're trying to protect their families, this shit that you're listening to on the news, and, you know, on just the media in general is a load of shit, you know, it's just not that way. And I've a lot of experience with meeting people over the years, and I met a lot of people, and it's like that. So, what was my point? Oh, God. I'd have to forget it completely. But anyway, I'll try to remember. Oh, yeah, but cancer, it's like, it doesn't discriminate. It doesn't matter if you're a good person or a bad person, you know? I mean, she was a person that never did harm to anyone, you know? I mean, like, we're all imperfect in our own ways, but there was never any harm. It was just a kind of a positive, upbeat kind of human being, you know. I mean, when I worked with her over the years, the two of us were very similar as well. We'd be kind of like positive human beings, you know. I have a couple of friends like that, actually. We're kind of close friends, and we're very kind of like, get on with it, like, you know, be positive, help each other out and all that. And you know, you see cancer taking something like that, and it doesn't discriminate, it doesn't give a fuck, like, it's just gonna, you know. And to see her, that was the worst part of it, like, it was to see her suffering. But death isn't, it's like, she whispered into one of my friend's ears last week, I'm ready, she said, I'm ready, I'm not afraid, which is a beautiful thing to think about. I mean, the death part of it is it scares young people, when, you know, very young people, you know, death, but, like, that isn't, it's a mercy in the end, like, it's a release from, you know, that type of excruciating pain is all you could call it. So she fell asleep and they were giving her methadone and stuff like that, and she died peacefully in the end, which was, you know, a blessing. Because I mean, just when you think of it, like, a person that we've all been there, we all have relatives that have had cancer and just can be the most amazing people ever, and they'll suffer physically suffer for, you know, it's not like there's a thing called karma, you know, it, like, maybe there is, but in that case, there isn't. You're just going to suffer because the disease is horrible. It's just a disease that attacks everything. So the sadness wasn't really there. Most of us said that as well. It was mostly numbness, or like zombie, you know, walking around like you. I was at the gym when I heard, and I was running, and I actually got a phone call on the treadmill, and I was like, fuck me, like. And I was getting off, I got off the treadmill, and I was walking through the gym, and I was just like, whoa, I was going out through the wrong doors, and I was like, where the fuck am I? And, you know, like that. And on top of that, like last week as well, a couple of days beforehand, when we were finding out that she was sick, and I crashed my car as well, I tore the shit out of someone's car, parked next to me in work, which was lovely. And it was, you know, that's the kind of thing that it was. It was lack, not as much suffering and sadness as numbness, and just, you know, like, what the hell is going on? But that's you know, everyone is different. Like, I mean, some people just freaked out, as I said, and ran out of work and disappeared and didn't come back since. Some people stayed, a lot of us stayed. We thought that, like, if we stayed, it was like a place where you, like a shrine or something, you know, and that we could sit there, and we weren't on any pressure, to be fair. And we just sat there telling little tales and jokes and kept each other going like that. But, you know, there's no such thing as judgment in situations like that. Some people have to go home. Some people prefer to be, you know, locked in a room with no one around them. Some people prefer to have friends. It just depends where you do it. But for a few of us there, we were saying, right, which was mostly guys again, which is probably because the girls were probably, you know, lived more in a closer relationship, or be like sisters. So the guys would be kind of more, you know, let's stand together, let's band together, and, you know, just stay here. And whereas the girls would probably meet up somewhere else and do anything, but they would have been a lot more, you know, they'd have shared real intimate details about their lives, and she would have helped a lot of them out as well over the years. So anyway, I just wanted to get that out. And you see, the thing is, like, as I said, like, guys, I don't want any, you know, oh, poor. That's why I can't announce these things. That's why, if, you know, I was quiet on Twitter, I was quiet in here, I was like, you know, you're kind of, ooh, you're watching what's going on in this, and then you're thinking, will I do this tonight? And you're like, I have to do this. And so, but at the same time, as I said, it's frustrating because you just can't come out and say, look, this is the way it is. Because you got it. If I said that on Twitter in a minute, like, I'd get a billion messages coming in saying, oh, whereas, as I said, I'm not the one that needs support, I suppose. Because I'm well able to look after myself, you know. I'm really self-sufficient like that. I rely on my own wisdom and stuff like that. Now, I love hearing people's words, and I love reading words, and I love hearing people's audios, and that's all lovely for me as well. But in the end, I'm kind of like, right, I have this, you know, I know what to do, I know how I have to deal with things. And as regards in work, and like in work for the last few days, I just worked, you know, I worked the same as like with audios. I find it really therapeutic, especially making audios. You know, like the audio that I put up earlier, I had done before I heard, so it was easier to do. I probably wouldn't have been able to do that type of audio, but like with the next couple of audios that I'll do, just so much of a therapy for me as well, you know. And it, like a lot of people that, you know, create art will tell you that, you know, music and poetry, and I know a lot of you do that as well, and they'll tell you that it's just such a way to, you know, channel energy and emotion and all that. And to, you know, like all these things are learning curves. Well, you know, I mean, I'm gonna die someday, and you just look at another person's life, and you can, you know, empathize with them and see what way, you know, to handle it, and how the dignity that people handle it. And I mean, to sit down and write all those Christmas cards, even it would take me fucking weeks to do it, and there's nothing wrong with me because I'd be making mistakes and spelling mistakes. And I was joking about that. I'd said I have 150, I'd probably write 450. I'd actually die with the pen in my hand. But you know what I mean. You can take some lessons from people that, you know, die with dignity and die with basically with a smile all the time, and that still cared for people and still gave a lot to people. Which is, it's, you know, it's just a beautiful life to live as well. It's a short life. She lived a short life, in comparison with most, but at the same time, it was a very rich life. And so yeah, so just to let you all know anyway what was going on, and just to say thanks for your patience, and thanks just for being so kind and sticking with me. All we can do is get on with it and enjoy ourselves while we're here. And have some banter and stuff like that. And yeah, just to say thank you very much, and slán.